What's up, world? I'd like to welcome y'all to a Drug Dealer's Dreams podcast, yo. Shit is real. We got real guests.
Yep.
Informative. Yo, my name G.
I'm Benny Blanco. You know, for those of you who lived it, can relate to it, seen it, heard it, felt it, been through it, it's for you.
Yo, we gonna have real convo, real guests, real just back and forth with me and my guy, man. Sit back, enjoy the ride, man. Drug Dealer's Dreams.
Word. If you're tuning in for gossip, tune out.
All right. Yo, a Drug Dealer's Dream, another episode. That's man. Good, that's good. I'm G.
Benny.
Tia Becca.
Hey, first of all, we gotta introduce you.
Tia, you ain't gotta jump in like that. We about to, G's gonna introduce you in case you ain't know this is how it works.
I can't take control of y'all. You know how I try to dominate.
We got a special guest tonight. Fam, this is Sis. Some people say that, but it's real shit. We got a special guest, man. Ohio Zone. Love and Hip Hop Zone. Blue Flame Zone. G5 Zone. Getting the Bags on.
The Street Zone.
In fact.
Hustler.
Now
on the Drug Dealer's Dreams Becca. Couch.
What's up?
Now a Drug Dealer's Dreams on.
Word.
The Drug Dealer's Dreams. This is going to be the littiest.
The littiest episode y'all probably have seen. Yeah. Super facts.
Yeah.
Word. We've been supposed to do this for a long time. So we're gonna set it off. We got so much to talk about, but we are actually we're gonna start from the beginning. You from what part of Ohio are you from?
I'm from Dayton, Ohio. If y'all know about Dayton, ask a drug dealer.
Okay.
All right. So if you don't know, that's where I'm from. Like Dayton is just built off of factories and drug dealing. I come from the home of Tahiti. You gotta come from the streets to know who Tahiti is.
Okay.
Bugs Norman. You gotta come from the streets to know who Bugs Norman is. Those are homes I come from, so those was my heroes. That's the home I come from. So these people was my heroes, you know, like growing up poor, but hearing the stories of how, you know, Bugs Norman ran through the streets of Dayton, Ohio in Lamborghinis when Lamborghinis wasn't even rapped about. You know, when rappers wasn't even big, it was still a R&B era. You know what I'm saying? So that's the era I come from, and those was my heroes, having a mom that did drugs, having a dad that I didn't know, but he did drugs too. So my heroes became the drug dealers.
Okay.
So that's why I came to this show, because I know about the dream.
It's a drug dealer's dream.
You gave your own intro. That's why you tried to jump in.
You already had it. You know what I'm saying?
How was it coming up in Dayton though? Like was you did you go to school? You dropped out of school? How it worked out? Was you a good kid?
What's the childhood like for Tia growing up?
Guess what? Dayton is easy, right? Sometimes I think about if I take my hustle that I have here in Atlanta and I take it to Dayton,
You'll go crazy, right?
I dominate.
We talk about that sometimes.
I dominate. Yeah. So Dayton is a place where it's nothing but selling drugs. There's no jobs, and as anyone who's from the Midwest know, Dayton and Detroit is known for factories. So Ford, GM, and all of that.
So what's up with Ohio? Why do I hear so much about like
Cam used to get it in
Cleveland,
Ohio.
Youngstown?
Because if you a real ex street guy,
right,
and you think about the major routes to move whatever you need to move, computers, t-shirts. You know that 75-85 is the medium.
Right. Okay.
So Ohio is the middle of 75-85. Okay. So no matter what, Ohio is one state. If you're trying to go from the bottom of the map, which is Miami, to the west of all West Coast, California, you have to stop through Ohio.
Okay.
Especially if you take 75-85. That's the center. That's the heart of 75-85. So, and everybody knows that. And everybody knows that in order to get fast money, the only thing that you can do is sell drugs. So Dayton was one of them cities that's where everything moved. We don't have Saks. We don't have Nordstrom.
Louis Vuitton.
So
you ain't got none of that.
None like, of that. It's like the so time. You can't even swipe in Dayton.
It's like the
time. It ain't worth it.
To swipe you can't even swipe. The only
you're
thing
be
you
swiping
can do
at Macy's.
The only thing you could do is drop off a brick or a bell or a bird.
Okay.
And go about your business. That's the only thing you can do in Dayton. So everybody know about that because that's what that everybody know that that's where you can get most of your money, and it goes for whatever price you're gonna get. Like if a bell of whatever was here in Atlanta, it's 29. You can get it off for 32.
You definitely know the price.
Yeah.
All right. No.
Is that too much? No, listen.
You just heard about it.
I just heard about it. Okay. Club talk.
All right. Now listen. We know you had kids young, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many kids you got?
I had a lot.
Okay, all right.
Don't ask about my uterus. You know,
listen.
You better not ask about the activities of my uterus. don't do that to me. I got a lot though. All
right,
but I'm gonna say, I can't say because this is one of my most proudest, like not even my achievements, because I can't say that I did this. But I did have a son at 13 when I was about to turn 14.
Damn. Okay, that's
and
crazy,
that's like it's crazy how whatever I got in me. He got the good of everything I got in me.
I met him.
You met him.
Definitely.
So he's 18. He's 18. So it's like we're brothers and sisters. He got this drive that I got, but without the street shit. Right.
Can we go there? Can we go to like 11, 12, 13?
I kind of want to talk about that. All right. Was he by a street guy? All right. Now at you 13, 14, like dealing with a nigga like that, was he a lot older?
That was just something that it wasn't even consensual like that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So that was a little bit different, but he is a street guy. And it was like me not knowing nothing. To be honest, after him at 13, I didn't have sex no more until I was like 18.
So,
But that 18 was a kingpin.
Okay. All right. We're going to get past that because that might be a touchy subject.
Yeah.
But you still continue to deal with a street guy. Like after you turn 18, was he a lot older?
The
only reason why I say that because a lot of young women deal with older men.
Definitely.
And is it the control? Is it the dominance? Is it the fact that he seemed like he a boss? You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of times you'll deal, if you 18, you're dealing with an 18-year-old, he ain't a boss nigga. He might be selling 3 fives.
Right.
You want a nigga, he might not have bricks, but he got some money. 10,000 is a lot to an 18-year-old.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Not a million. But 10,000 be seeming like a million. I know when I first got my first 10,000, I felt like a million.
And you're not going to his mom's crib, you're going to his crib.
You're going to his house.
But I don't think that's what it is, to be honest. Like for me.
Well, let us know, because we don't know. You know what I'm saying?
We speaking from a male's perspective. We want to talk to a female. Right. We speaking from a male perspective, so kind of explain it.
It's not even age, it's who owns. At 18,
what you mean by
whoever's
that?
Own.
What you mean by that, though?
Like,
let them know.
If you're at that if you're at that stage, that plateau, when you're on, you know what I'm saying? At 18, you're usually not on. You still, this your big homie. You still learning from your big homie. So if at 18, I see this 18-year-old kid that like me, who still look up to big homie, I'm going to want big homie.
I want big homie.
What about
you know
him? What about him that makes you want that? Because, see, we was all... What's so ill, right? And me and G discussed this on previous episodes. There was times, obviously, when we was 18, when we couldn't get the 18-year-old female that we was like, damn. And we knew she was
because
fucking
she's
with.
Fucking with big homie.
Exactly. And then we became big homie at some point.
And
right?
She wanted you. At
right.
That.
So we've been at both sides of the fence. But you know, it may seem like common sense why she may not want you. Why she may want the older person, but. You know, we drop gems to the young men all the time on here. But it's a privilege for us to have you here. So the things that you may think are obvious or you may think is common sense, they're not common sense to a lot of young ladies or a lot of young men. What does it mean to you when you're that age and you see an older man and you see him doing whatever? What does it mean?
Because let me tell you, it means a lot because if you was 18 and you wanted that 18-year-old girl that was popping.
Right.
You got to get that 18-year-old girl that don't walk that same walk of life that you walk. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
If you walk the same life as big homie and that 18-year-old girl, you're going to have to go for the good girl. The good girl to
the
take
square.
AP, the square.
Right.
The square going to appreciate you for you.
Definitely.
But if you go after that 18-year-old that walked that same walk of life that you walk, right. Mom's on crack, she been in the street, she's jumped off the stoop the same time you jumped off, she not gonna like you.
She driving a nigga bad. She riding around with the hammer.
So was that Tia at that age?
That was Tia.
So break that down. Did you ever?
Because let me say on God, on everything I love, uh-huh. Nobody from high school, from my high school, can say they fucked Tia Becca. Nobody.
Say no more.
Nobody from my high school, other than who I had my first child with, uh-huh. can say they fucked Tia Becca.
Nigga from at the high school reunion say they popped Tia Becca.
Nobody from the high school can. And Tia Becca was the kid with the Jordans and with the 10s, mm-hmm. right? By the time I got. At first, my gear wasn't matching what I knew I wanted. I wasn't wearing warm. I was wearing XJ900.
The like, bullshit.
You don't even understand poverty. Okay. If you don't understand what X, you understand poverty. What you say where them was from?
The Payless.
Right.
I know that. We used to clown niggas for them drunk.
Yeah.
Fact. You ain't never worn none?
No, I didn't. Yeah. I'm going to keep it a buck.
Yeah,
I was poor, but don't get it twisted. Like, my pops was a hustling nigga, so he might not have been around. But he bought me some sneakers. You know what I'm saying? I might not have had the sneakers every time they dropped, but I didn't have a pair.
So your shit got creased before you got the other one.
100 And I had hand-me-downs. My Uncle Kev, right. I had his shit.
Right.
100%.
Right. Yeah, you know about him.
My uncle 3 years older than me, so you know I'm from the hood.
You know, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we was like brothers. So that's
just 36 months Kev. Apart. That's it. Just 36 months. But that's, I think... Ooh.
But it had to be more to you than like wanting nice things. It had to be something going on internally, right? That you was like, cause you know, I'm sure you was popular because you got a crazy dope personality. I'm sure.
I was real popular.
Right, I'm sure you was always popular. So I'm sure there was
You know what
things.
Hurt me? This is a pivotal moment that I'll never forget. Yeah. My mom being on crack, right?
That's what I was trying to get to. My like, grandmother. What was going on in the house?
Yeah, my grandmother, like, she, right before my grandmother got custody of us, she kind of lost a child to murder. My uncle in the streets, he got hit in the chest and died, and my grandmother seen him die. So my grandmother went through a mental breakdown.
So Dayton was violent, too.
Right, Dayton is still violent.
Midwest is violent.
Okay.
Dayton is still violent. Dayton is, like, one of the most violent. It's nothing but drugs and violence.
Well,
so my uncle, you know, my uncle, he got hit and my grandmother seen it and it drove my grandmother crazy a little bit. So I remember I had a violin recital.
Okay.
And
what's that mean?
Nobody was
what's
there.
What's that mean?
I played violin.
Oh, okay. Okay. And no one showed up. Damn.
No.
How old was you?
I was in the fourth grade.
And that shit sticks in your head.
To this day, that shit sticks in
my head.
That
was a turning point.
That was like, I'm going to always have my own money. I'm going to be better than my mother. I'm not going to never live poor. And I'm going to be on TV. The craziest thing.
Let me stop
thing,
you right there real quick. Uh-huh. Okay. I got this saying, right? Uh-huh. And it's became so true to my life during these episodes that we do. We all get influenced, right? By people older than us, right?
Right.
And certain people who are weak-minded, they mimic that influence. So if mm-hmm. your pops was an alcoholic, you become an alcoholic. You know, if, I don't know, if your mom's was doing drugs, you end up doing drugs. Mm-hmm. But then there's other people that become resilient. Uh-huh. They say, yo, if I have a negative influence, I become the opposite of that.
Yeah.
And just you saying that is so powerful, even though it's a foundation for the rest of your story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody going through something, I know it seems fucked up, but use it as an example of what not to do. And you don't even understand at that age that that's what winners are made of. That's what winners are
that's
made of.
That's what winners,
of.
Yeah.
So you going through fucked up shit that makes you do the opposite.
No, but low key, me trying to resent my mom, trying to fight everything she was, made me just like her.
Damn.
I got a different addiction.
That's deep.
Which is money.
All right, so go ahead.
You know what I'm saying? Talking. I got a different
that's a
addiction.
Drug dealer's dream. Fact.
So you know, I realized that like I'm kind of heartless in a sense. I don't get connected to nothing.
Damn.
I don't get connected to nothing. I can't
don't
walk
fast
away
forward
from.
Though. I ain't mean to throw
no,
you
no,
off.
No. It ain't even throwing me off. Cause to be honest, I look in the mirror sometimes and I say like I have this thing where I detach. My grandparents got sick, you know, and that's who raised me and that's who I was attached to. Like that's who I feel like I can't live without. And I detach myself to them because they're sick. And if they die, they're going to handicap me.
Damn.
So So your addiction don't have to be drugs. It don't have to be alcohol. It don't have to be. It's addiction is something you can't live without.
Nah.
So being so resentful to my mom made me just like her, cause I'm just like her. She tell me all the time. She say you just like me, but maybe 50 times more brilliant. Cause I won't do nothing. I won't do nothing if a bag ain't attached to it. Mm. My mom smoked that pipe, did whatever for free. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Me, like, if it got a bag to it, like, I'm not going to say I'm going to do it because my ego is everything, but I roll the dice, take the chances, whether it's penitentiary chances or not. Mm. I roll the dice. Even if I do it by myself, I'm going to roll them dice.
A drug dealer's dream.
You know what I'm saying?
The part about that is not to even be on me. It's like my pops wasn't around the most. He might have had bread or whatever, did light shit for me, but it was twofold because he wasn't the best father. And I ended up being in the street, but I told myself when I have kids, I'm not gonna be like him. Right. I'ma balance the two. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gonna be there for my kids and I might be on bullshit. But I'm trying to be a better him. But in turn, his chase for the bag was my chase for the bag. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, I understand what you're saying because, like your mom's, whether it was crack, I seen my pop sniff coke. You know what I'm saying? I done walked in on sniff coke. But in those days, that was like a rich man drug. That's just what you did. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But he still chased that bag. But he chased the bag 99% of the time, and his kids was 1%. So I made sure I kind of
made them kids 60
or 50-50.
And you saying that right now is deep for Tia, though, because she breaking down that, and you don't want to. You're still young. You're doing a great job as a mother, as a human being. But hearing his story right there, it gives you a realization real quick. Like, you know what? Let me make sure my percents is balanced out. You know,
my percents will always be balanced out. Because one thing I never had that mother figure. My grandmother still didn't understand me because she's Jehovah Witness.
Okay. But still to this day, super strict.
Still to this day, being Jehovah Witness or not, I'm still her favorite one.
Word?
I'm still her favorite one. When I moved to Atlanta, I had a dollar and a dream. I had nothing. My cousin, God rest his soul, he was with this gang, BMF. And he told me, he said, come down here. He said, we grew up more like sis and bro. To be honest, our mothers, his name was D-Boy. God rest his soul, rest in peace. He's a legend in Dayton. And to be honest, our mom smoked crack together. And he said, you're so beautiful and your hustle is so different.
Yeah.
You should have millions by now. He said, come to Atlanta. And, you know,
Can we go back to the fourth grade with the violin?
Let's go back before I talk about D-Boy.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. Because I talk about D-Boy, everybody from Dayton going to appreciate this video.
And we definitely going to get
everybody
to
Everybody from Atlanta going to appreciate this.
We're
going to
give
video.
Him his just due, 100%. Uh-huh. But I want to make sure that your story gets told. So
fourth grade, I had this violin recital, right? Nobody was clapping for me.
Damn.
And I had a solo part. And so my grandmother, she battled with mental illness. That's why I take that so serious. That's why I always, between time, find time for me.
Word.
I say like maybe 15 positive affirmations in the mirror to myself every day. Like, this is something people don't know about me. I say 15 affirmations. I pray like 4 times a day.
Okay.
So, because I know addiction and mental illness is something that's prevalent within my bloodline. You know, immediate bloodline at that.
Mm.
So my grandmother was fighting my grandmother was fighting mental illness because my uncle got killed, and my mother was fighting drug addiction, and nobody clapped for me when I finished my solo part.
Okay.
That hurt me like no other. And that type of hurt, it created also, I have this, I'm not afraid of losing nothing but my kids. I'm not afraid of losing nothing. I'm not afraid of losing money because I know my hustle. I'm gonna get that money back. I'm not afraid of losing money. Only thing in life right now I'm afraid of losing is my kids.
Okay.
I'm afraid of losing my grandparents and I call and check on them. But I've separated myself from them because that pain will immobilize me.
Okay.
It'll take me away from and that's how I knew I had a problem. Like, I got a problem because the fear of that type of pain, and I relate that to that fourth grade experience. I won't even answer my grandparents' call every day. I just made it an affirmation, check on my grandparents at least 4 times a week.
You know what I feel like from listening to your story? You said it was in the fourth grade, right?
It was in the fourth. And
how old are you in the fourth grade? Like what, 9? Yep. 10? Some shit like that?
Yep.
Right. I feel like you went from like 9 to like...
25.
Yeah. Overnight.
The part about like, yeah.
And my mother said she don't owe me nothing. I feel like she owed me that fourth grade experience.
And you hold on to that and you 32.
But guess what? Because one thing my grandparents did to me, and that's why I feel like no matter... Out of all my siblings, because my mom got a lot of kids and my father got a lot of kids. Uh-huh. Out of all my siblings, I'm the one that chose the alternate route. I got a sister that's going to school for anesthesiologist. I got 2 sisters. They done got their degrees. One's a teacher. I'm the only one that took this. I'm gonna make it.
You set the example. You became the mother.
I became the mother. But the mother with nothing. That's the profession. See, in life,
it's the hustle.
And exactly. So my older siblings and my sister that's older than me come to me like, what's up? My nigga doing this. Or what's up? My job doing this.
Yeah.
She come to me now. She used to bully me. Now she come to me like I'm the big sister. Yeah. So I'm the only one out of all the kids that went left. Everybody went right.
But see, like the illest part about that is, and the reason why, is because, like, forget how you had your son at 13, right?
I'm the only one that did that, too.
Right. You're
None
probably
of them
the
had
only
kids,
one
no.
out of many people in life who
yeah.
did that.
Yeah.
Forget how you had your son. You still had a son at that age.
And let me tell you something about my son at 13. He told his girlfriend the other day, and she hit me up. He in the Army now, because he like, I wasn't in his life then, because he got adopted. My mom adopted him. You know what I'm saying?
That's dope. And
I wasn't in his life at all. Okay. And his girlfriend hit me up the other day. His girlfriend dropped dead gorgeous. I don't know what she mixed with. She's just pretty. But she hit me up the other day and she said, you know, Jordan hit me up and he said you would keep him going. I recently took him from his mom, from my mom. Yeah. I texted my mom today and told her I love her. She didn't respond back. So, you know, that's a different type of hurt. Yeah. But she mad at me for taking him. But I took him because he's everything I wasn't at 18. Right. If he gets straight A's in high school, there's no sense to where he cannot be Barack Obama. I'm not going to let him. He got caught recently selling weed.
Right.
And even then, I ain't beat him up aside the head. I just told him how to do it. You know what I'm saying?
He a product of his environment.
Exactly. Right. But he don't have to do that.
100%.
Had you had him applying for scholarships, had you had him... he did everything that every school would want because he literally graduated with all A's and 1 B his whole entire year.
Okay.
He don't have to do nothing. So I recently took him from my mother. And because my mother, which I
your
understand.
Your mother, not your grandparents. Your mother.
No, my grandparents were
so
never.
So your mother got back on her right path.
My that's one thing I'm going to give her.
All right,
my mother got back on her. She stopped doing drugs and raised my son. But you're not gonna make him work hard to the 12th grade for him to work at McDonald's. If he got straight A's his whole life, he should be able to get in Princeton, Harvard. That's what he should have been doing, but she didn't do the right thing. The same thing she did with me. So I took him for my mother. I took him recently and I sent him to
the- on your shit?
Yeah, I took him recently. I've been on my shit, but I took him when he graduated from high school because he called me and he said, Mom, can you buy me another car? My car broke down. And he said, my grandmother told me I should work at McDonald's. They offered me scholarships. And I no mediocrity. You did everything better than me.
We got to rewind. Right. Uh-huh. We got to rewind. Like, right. All right. So you go from the violin joint.
Violin joint.
What you're suffering from is extreme disappointment. That's what you're suffering from at that point. Right. Extreme disappointment. And, you know, you just said something that's real. You said, I got on my shit, right? And
I said, I'm gonna never let nobody hurt me like that.
Earlier.
To be honest, nobody hurt me like that in life no more.
And
I get a nigga set up.
Yeah.
I do everything.
We gonna get into that.
Yeah,
but at a later date.
Let us get to that.
That fourth grade hurt was so profound.
Made you set niggas up.
Nobody never made me hurt me like that
before.
Exactly. We got.
But what I'm trying to do is.
Nobody never hurt me like that. I couldn't walk away from that.
She got to cut you off.
No, let me cut. Because listen,
She got
I'm
to cut
doing
you
my solo. I'm doing yeah. my solo. Child. All my white it. Counterparts got applause. I'm talking about the crowd was roaring for my white, everybody, my classmates. I'm the only one that had silence. Nobody had that kind of hurt like me.
You still remember that?
What if your solo was just...
It was Gardendale Elementary. Damn. Nobody had that kind of hurt. Like, I was the only one that had silence.
Okay, so you have a son. We jumping around, pause. Is that you have a kid at that age. Do you instantly, obviously, you let your moms take, or your grandparents take your son.
I want to know what school's
how
like.
How are you feeling?
Yeah, I want to know what school's like. They talking about you.
So what happened was actually...
did we have a 13-year-old that had a child?
Possibly.
Let me tell you how the 13-year-old
13, 14, 15. Definitely.
But it was talk. Like, they was talking. Girls was talking. Boys was talking.
But it wasn't even like that. I wasn't a real... I was always how I am now. The tomboyish, I was like that. And even now, my baby father, that's like one of my friends now, despite everything that happened. But when my son, I was, it was more like my sister was like the into everything intellectual. I got an older sister, and back then she was my hero. I'm pretty sure I'm her hero now. But back then she was my hero, and certain things happened. And I told her about it. I said, you know what? I think I haven't had a period. Because my mother didn't even help me change my first tampon or pad. I was cheering at a game. And I started bleeding in white sweats. And a cheer coach that I didn't even know helped me do that.
Word.
And then, you know, a couple of months after that, that's when I got pregnant. But my sister ended up telling my mother. And I wanted an abortion. And my mother did crack her whole life, sell coochie her whole life. And when it got time for me getting pregnant, she was like, we don't believe in abortion. So she made me have a baby.
Witness.
Yeah.
She
but I felt like
she had belief in the religion, but she was doing crack.
So I felt like my baby was her chance to redeem herself. Mm. Which she did, though. My mother was a perfect
So it was a blessing.
It was a blessing.
A blessing in disguise.
It was a blessing.
So at when you fast forward to 18... When you having this baby by the other street nigga, how long were you dealing with him?
I was dealing with him for a minute.
So you got drawn to him because he was the big homie.
Uh-huh.
How old was he?
How old was he?
28. He was, maybe even 20. I was 17. I lied about my age. He was 28.
So you in high school, but you kind of untouchable to the high school boys.
No, I was smart.
But you and you untouchable to the high school boys.
Yeah.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for money.
Okay.
I ain't even gonna lie, I'm looking for money. Cause so from elementary to like maybe ninth grade, my gear wasn't even matching.
What's
my
high school
ego.
What's high school looking like for you? Like, are you getting Red Lobster dropped off?
No, because
what's going on?
Because
I see that's the shit.
9,000.
I didn't even have the extra 900, but I had the ego that I wouldn't ask my mom for nothing. So at 14, at 12 actually. The judge made me live from my grandmother to my mother. My grandmother's
Jehovah's
Witness.
What you mean? What you mean? What happened?
So it was finally a custody battle. I think I went to foster care at 3.
Damn.
And so I went to foster care because my mother had a crack issue and left us alone and left us hungry. And then my grandmother just trying to do the right thing.
That's a real story, bro.
Just trying to do the right thing. My uncle just had got murdered. And he had 3 kids, and my grandmother...
Took them?
No, my grandmother seen him die. My grandmother wiped the blood off his face. The guy killed him with a shotgun, blew his whole heart out. It was a little hole. I remember she still... She had this bloody T-shirt until I can remember. She had the shirt that she wiped the blood from his face till I can remember. She probably still got it to this day. It was a striped pink and white T-shirt, button-down shirt. It was linen. And if you from the Midwest, linen, Cartiers, and Maries, and furs is the 4 things.
Okay.
If you from the Midwest, linen, Cartiers, Maries, and furs.
Okay.
So my grandmother had a pink and white striped linen button-down shirt that she wiped his blood matter from, and she kept it forever.
Okay.
So I can't say when the murder happened, but I remember she was battling that depression when she took custody of us.
Okay.
So she took custody of us, and my mother lost us because she had a crack battle, and I think I had swallowed 3/4. That's what I remember. I swallowed 3/4 and almost choked to death, and then neighbors came and saved me.
Three quarters, like real quarters?
Like quarters, I was, like change.
I had change in my mouth at a young age, okay. Sitting in the car playing, and I'm sitting against the passenger seat waiting for my mother while she in the crack house doing crack, and my sister kicked the back seat.
Damn.
And lodged the quarters in my chest.
Damn.
And what saved me was neighbors coming to save me. And my mother came out the crack house when they found her and tried to give me a popsicle. And they took me.
Because they didn't know what the fuck was going on.
They, you know, black people, give her ice, give her milk. You know what I'm saying? Black people, give us some milk, give us some ice. You know, they didn't know what was wrong. But I remember swallowing 3/4. I remember gasping for air. And I remember them finally finding my mother. And I remember when they called the police. And I remember going to foster care. And I remember my grandmother, even though she wasn't mentally right, saying, I'm not going to split them up. So I had a brother who was an actual crack baby. He was born even outside the sack. Even to this day, he got issues because he was born addicted to heroin and crack. And my grandmother took all three of us, even though she was battling depression of losing a child. So that this to this day still stick with me.
This is the first episode where I'm even having trouble asking certain questions.
Yeah, like this shit is like, it's jumping around because you got so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to jump back to the second pregnancy, but you just got so much shit going on. So you're dealing with the new nigga, you looking for a bag with the new nigga.
I wasn't even looking for a bag because I was getting a bag. Because then at this time,
I never had
a 16-year-old job that did fast food.
Let me tell you what's deep though, right? All right, so Tia, what you've been through, it led you to here you are today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you are today.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's crazy because in the beginning, you was talking about people you idolize, your heroes. Those are the exact words, like, yo, my heroes were so-and-so, right? And you went from being a victim in these stories, real shit. Like, you're young, you're going through shit that's not even under your control, right? You feel that people are disappointing you. All this wild shit is going on.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a point, and it's past the whole violin shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a point where you didn't want to be victimized no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you kept saying, like, can't nobody hurt me now, can't nobody hurt me now. Like, yo, that's a powerful statement. You know, a lot of people say that shit, but that shit's a lie on some real shit because you're driven by hurt. So what happens if nobody stops hurting you? You don't drive no more. You're stuck now. So listen to what I'm saying. You said your addiction was money. I think it's realer than that,
mm-hmm.
All right? I think it's the pain. I think it's like, yo, them people, because if those people didn't hurt you, you wouldn't be who you are today, right? So that shit drove you. So what happens if nobody hurts you no more? Your drive disappears. The mm-hmm. money's cool, but the money's coming with the pain. That's what money do. Mm. It follows pain.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I listen to your whole story and I'm compassionate about it. Trust me. This is in no way judgment. In no way judgment. This is only mm-hmm. understanding. Mm-hmm. Okay? But my understanding of what you're going through is real painful right now.
Right.
And it's like, yo, if that shit drove you to where you are today, right? You need to embrace that shit so other people can learn from it because most people fail from pain. You just happen to be a winner from pain. But that's extraordinary. Mm. So you gotta explain how that happened. You gotta explain how, like, shit you was going through was so fucked up.
You took lemons,
but you took something. Yeah, exactly. You took something good from it. And if you don't explain that, then you're robbing the viewers.
I'm lying. Huh.
Exactly. You're fake. If
you're just leaving shit out.
But we know you're not. That's why you're sitting on this couch.
Yeah.
So we just want to, like, really, really find out the point in life that you went from being victimized to winning. Even if you had to do some wrong shit, because that's the story of all of us, right?
Right.
It's justification for the wrong shit, because you're trying to get to a better good, right? But when was yours, man? When was yours?
I'm
a freestyler because I'm not even gonna consider this a question.
Let's go.
If it's a question, I feel like I have to break it down too much.
Let's go.
I think it ain't even my what I think is learning the difference or understanding the difference of being a victim and being going from victor to victorious.
Word.
I feel like that feeling or that slide was a long shot for me. Okay. I didn't like how being a victim made me feel. Even if I don't even think I like how intelligent you just broke that question down because you got a bitch stumped. I ain't even
gonna lie. You had me stumped. Let me keep it 1,000.
Stumped.
Yeah. Hit you with the master's degree shit.
Yeah.
No, so I ain't even gonna lie. You got a bitch stumped. So
I just want to know about you.
I gotta take your question out and just go with how I felt, understanding the difference between victor or victorious and victor. I remember feeling like I didn't come from the same track. I remember this girl's name. Her name was Shadonna Cosby. Mm. And her mom cooked brownies for PTA. That's how much I remember. And I remember trying to gain the benefit of feeling how she felt having these parents that cooked brownies and feeling how I felt like having I had nobody. So I remember trying to peg that how I can make my feeling more victorious than hers.
Damn.
And I think at that moment, I realized the difference between a victor and a victim. Because it's a big difference. And even though if by law they say at 13 having a baby made me a victim, mm-hmm. I didn't like how weak a victim felt. I didn't like that shit.
That's a drug dealer's dream right there.
I ain't like
how you was the underdog. Super
I was the underdog. And to
Word.
This day, I root for the underdog. I ain't sucking nobody's dick. Word. I don't care how own you are. You feel me? Word. And that's why even being on TV and having these large platforms, to me, that's a handicap. Because the larger your platform, the more dicks you got to suck. And I ain't too much willing to
how
suck.
How you know that? Hold up. Yeah. I love your rant. I love it because it's real. But how you know these things? Tell
because
me what you
Because I learned
through.
How my hard work didn't supersede the amount of dicks they were sucking. My hard work being going to work every day, putting on these boots, still working 6-hour shifts to provide for my kids in a club. Because to me, that's victory.
Talk about the club life. Talk about that 6 hours in the club.
I love the club life. I can't even talk about it because that's how much I love it.
I ain't gonna let you
on. You know what I'm saying? Because I make what a normal drug dealer make a day. We can probably
profit.
Take the
it's a difference making profit. Yeah. How much money you making?
And it's the difference between knowing what niche you ride. You know what I'm saying? I've been working in the club since I moved to Atlanta. Before I moved to Atlanta.
How long you been in Atlanta?
I've been in Atlanta since I said my cousin D-Boy said come here.
I mean, what year is this?
Was 2005.
So you've been in Atlanta a minute. Uh-huh. I met you. You were in the club.
Uh-huh.
What club?
Onyx.
Onyx.
Okay. You know the illest part about it. You don't work at Onyx no more. But one thing I can respect because that was before Love and Hip Hop.
Mm-hmm.
But the illest part about it I want to say is you've been on TV, you've been all that, but you still were grinding the club. Some people think you get on TV and just you lit, you're a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't understand the grind. Some of them people don't got no money. So you can't take that and think that you ain't got to grind no more. Like, you still in the club. Mm-hmm. You still go from Atlanta to Miami twice a week. Like
L.A.
you're in
too.
And out.
Yeah.
L.A. too. So what I'm saying is, and I think that's ill. That's a drug dealer's dream. You want mm-hmm. that bag.
Hell yeah.
And what I be trying to explain to people is all the time is people see a drug dealer's dream and think it's like a bad thing. No, a drug dealer's dream is providing for your family, staying out of prison, and supporting your family.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the fact that regardless, you get to the bag. Chicks look down on chicks. Oh, she in the club. She served bottles. But at the end of the day, you bringing that money home. So if a chick work at Verizon and she making $10 an hour,
exactly,
you getting 10 times more than them bitches, and you getting it in. Mm-hmm. So for you to be spending money on flights, going to all these West Coast, Miami and all that, you ain't doing that wasting money. You obviously you're going to them places because you're getting a bag. You know what I mean? So I think you need to kind of explain that because people get a misconception of chicks who work in the club from being on TV and all that. That ain't real money. You get the money from appearances mm-hmm. and still doing your day to day in the meantime. And that platform gives you an opportunity to whatever. It gives you an opportunity, whether if it's $1 or 10,000 an episode, it gives you a platform to whatever businesses you're trying to produce or getting popping. Like, you got, tell them about your workout line, your what is it, bar? What is
Bright, bar bright.
Bar bright.
I teach people how to get the money I get.
Explain bar bright.
I'm gonna tell you this, because a lot of people ask me that question, like, how can I disconnect from what they say? Because every day on my DMs and my comments, oh, she 30 and she still work at the club. But one thing I learned very early when I tried to come off the stoop, put myself through college and get my apartment, it's a big difference between what they say and what I say. They, I mean they, T-H-E.
Yeah.
It's a big difference between T-H-E-Y. Yeah, because I still would say they.
I want to
hear that. Right, okay, thank you, thank you. So it's a big difference between what they say and pay say. So, you know,
okay.
I'm more interested in what the pay say. So it takes a strong woman. It takes a real boss woman to forget and not give a fuck about what they say and really just focus on what the pay say. And it was like when I always had cousins and big brothers that hit me to the game. But one day when I mentioned something like, oh, yeah, he cheated on me, my friend's going to say this. It was a friend to me that said, do you give a fuck about what they say or what the pay say? Meaning, my friend understood how much money the nigga I was fucking with had.
Okay.
But it takes a strong woman, a woman from my background, to appreciate the pay say. Because whatever dude you're going to get with, if they are part of this dream, they're going to be more interested in what the pay say than what they say.
Okay.
The they say going to irritate them, but what the pay say going to turn him on. So it took me a long time, even being born into this, to understand the significance of the pay say. So for me, differentiating myself between them and me is real hard, because them, the labels be their motivation. But for me, the they say and the, you know, where I came from, that's the motivation, because I come from an era where there was no Instagram. I come from an era where I can only meet up with you and you can understand my struggles before you believe my testimony. That's what era I come from. You know, a testimony now is widespread and easily believed, because we can make videos and blah, 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 and be instantly persuaded or have some sort of instant gratification. But I come from an era where he say, she say, the legend of you come from the last nigga that was before you, or the last nigga that was coming up after you. I come from that era. So he say, she say meant a whole lot. So the best thing that I can ever say right now, what I can tell my young people, is that he say, she say, for me, I learned how to turn it into dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And I might be like a little high and a little drunk, because I am, but I'm a little bit more raw. But I appreciate my era that I come from. I appreciate it, because no matter what, no matter the followers, no matter the followers that my bitch may have 500, I ain't sucking no dick. If my hard work ain't gonna do it, I ain't clicking up with you tomorrow. If I wasn't clicking up with you 5 years ago, I'm not sitting here telling you my business today. You know what I'm saying?
You talking wild shit. You talking mad shit.
No, is that me? I'm drunk, but that's what I do.
We talking so much shit, right? And I'm jumping around, and the illest part about this story, like, we talk about relationships. I want to jump to relationships, because off camera, you was talking about how you could be in a relationship with a nigga and you know he gonna be on bullshit, but you kind of not accept it, but like, how can I explain it? Understanding that if he jumped around on you, that doesn't mean that he ain't for you. He just rocking with her for the moment, and you accepting the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I know I'm jumping around, but. What do you mean by that? Like, you know, sometimes a nigga be on bullshit, but he gotta respect home. Like, I'm lit too. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like this. The only way as a woman, if you want your relationship to work, if you want that fire to still be existent.
That fire.
Because I believe that is. Everything is fire.
A word. What is fire?
Like, breathe.
What is the fire to a woman?
Fire is to anything that's gonna set. That's gonna magnify what's already within me. That's fire.
Do y'all always chase excitement, man?
I always chase excitement. Yeah.
Mm. Explain it. Do you gotta keep the excitement? What is going on?
So let me first explain, like, the.
Because I've been listening. I got some heat for you, though.
Let me explain, ladies. If you the most pivotal moments in my life, and I'm not gonna lie, is when I moved to Atlanta.
Okay.
Mm.
When I first moved into Atlanta, anybody that's from the real Atlanta, real east side Atlanta. You born in Grady?
Oh shit.
Any nigga know my baby daddy? Anybody know Money?
Who is your
baby? I don't know.
This nigga named Money. He was big.
His, That's his name. Boy was big. That's his only name.
That people know him from.
So you had two kids in Ohio, but when you moved here, you had your other kids.
Yeah.
All right. That's his only name is Money.
They got the same father. Yeah, yeah.
He ain't got no initial in front of that shit. Money. He ain't got no father in it. Just money.
Forget G Money.
Yeah, forget money.
We're talking about money.
Forget anything
you
money.
You from Atlanta.
His name is Money.
You was getting real money.
You know Slick,
you know Slick, you know Damien, you know D Money, and you know Money.
So how do you show up in the A as Tia Becca? Or what was you before Tia Becca?
Don't cutting off like I used to cut people off.
I'm cutting off right now.
She talking about money. Let her go into her money.
Let me go about money.
Do your thing. Do your thing.
So you know that was my baby father, and I ain't never in my life loved somebody unconditionally other than my kids.
Okay.
If they didn't fall for my body, I don't know how to love them unconditionally.
Damn.
So I can say about each of my baby father, everybody but the baby father that I had, they was that guy.
Okay.
So I remember being the middle child when my grandmother took custody of us. And I don't know why everybody in my family was light-skinned. I was the only brown-skinned one because of my father. So my mom got out of kids, but each of them from a different man. And out of everybody that was before me, I'm the only brown-skinned one. And I don't know what it was. I don't know to this day, but me and my grandparents is like this more than any grandchild they speak to every day. And I'm the wild child. And we like this. You can tell them I just robbed Obama. It could be on CNN, clear as day. Okay. And they gonna have to say, Tia gotta say she did it before I believe she did it.
Damn.
That's why I measure so loyalty so heavily. Because to have these beings that love you so unconditionally without being judgmental, I expect a lot out of a nigga. Because my grandparents ain't teach me no street shit. But having that type of loyalty coupled with the street shit my brothers and cousins taught me, my expectation is real high. Like real high. You cross me, you would rather probably wish you died before you cross me. And that's on God. I ain't gonna go into that.
Damn,
but you'd rather wish you die before you cross me.
I believe you.
Now you ain't gonna go into that.
That's part seven.
Another cabin trip. That's part seven. But my point is saying all of that is my loyalty is like different. I'm a little bit like ready for this, so I can't fall right in the line. But my loyalty and my expectations on the type of loyalty or the type of actions you give somebody as far as, you know, I can count on her. Is she a real one? I take that term serious, a real one.
What does it mean to you?
My grandparents.
Damn. Okay.
They held you down when she was fucked up.
No, people call home. I mean, my mid-movie. I ain't never stripped a day in my life. I can't even twerk my biceps. Ain't nothing I can say.
Yeah. I don't even know why you said
no,
that.
No, y'all know me.
We ain't asked you shit about twerking.
Millie rocks.
I just
want to
go on record.
She Millie rocks, Millie rocker.
No, yeah, it's like a Millie New York nigga. Like everything about me is like a dude if you know me in real life. And one thing my grandparents, even I moved here and I remember they didn't know how I was getting money. They just know I made it here without asking them for nothing and being able to provide them with support still.
Yo, your humble beginnings are crazy, right?
Right, like, let me tell you about my grandparents. This is the type of loyalty I expect. People called my grandparents and said she danced at Magic.
Damn,
over a decade ago when I moved here.
Who calls her and says that? Who calls her and says that?
But guess what my grandparents did?
Like neighbors?
My grandparents said she had to tell me she danced before I believe anything y'all said. And to this day, my loyalty...
Where they live at?
They now in Ohio.
Okay. And people be calling them, talking about, yo, Magic City.
What the fuck she do?
Yo, they wildin'. Who calls her? Like neighbors? Like nosy
weird.
Neighbors?
Like people I grew up with that was my fans even in high school. Because this swag I got now, like, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Because people used to talk about my mom doing crack and saying my mom was a hoe, I had a swag ever since I was a kid, before I can remember. Like, if you was popping, I'm rebelling against you.
You know why, right?
I wanted to create it something bigger with the underdog. So it was crazy because now the people that was my fans in high school, they like run the fan club now.
Damn.
They run the fan club.
That keeps you going? That keeps you going?
No, what keeps me going is my mom not telling me she loved me back.
Damn, Tia, you crazy.
I text her today. I love her. Crazy. She texted me. I love her back.
Damn. Yep. That shit's deep.
Okay.
So. I don't care what nobody else think. Like, even in high school. In high school, they wasn't my equal. Mm. If you wasn't my equal in high school, I know right now you're not my equal. So they don't matter. What matters to me is my mom not saying, I got to figure out what's going to make her say she love me back.
Yo, so how you think? Yo, how you think? Yo, this parent shit, the fact that you're even expressing that is crazy, right?
Right.
Because, not crazy in a bad way. Crazy in the same way that you went left from your whole family. Crazy in the Tia Becca way.
You, but you said you weren't going to make her cry.
I'm not.
Right. Chilling.
You're gonna make
her cry.
Part
about it is she had a drug dealer's dream.
100%.
Right. Like,
she went
like
against
she
the grain.
My mama sold
going
crack.
Against the grain.
I wanted to be stronger than the person that sold my mom crack.
Damn, Tia.
Mm. You better not make me cry.
I'm not.
Cry.
You said that shit.
Right,
I didn't
so
say
let's
that.
Stop and
do
let's
that.
Smoke.
That's real.
I want to be stronger than the mom that served, the person that served my mom.
Too.
And that drives you to get the bag.
To
this like. The drug dealer's dream of making money off your mom's strives give you the drive to make that bag legally, number one,
because whether you're a waitress or stripper,
even though you're not a stripper, it's actually legal. And you regardless, we ain't gonna get to the setting up, nigga.
Y'all gotta stop making me cry.
Oh shit, you crying for real?
Like, yeah.
Yo, if you don't wipe your face right now,
stop wiping your face with this. No,
this,
I wanted to be stronger than the person that served my mom that made her not be able to be like, I love you back. Like,
nah, you doing it because you're a good mother. You're a good mother, right?
You're a good mother.
You're doing
your
thing.
With your kids.
We look at your Instagram, you got crazy followers.
You know the illest part
all
about
your kids
it,
are
people
in your
see
Instagram.
Her Instagram, might see her in G5, twerking, all this stuff. I went camping with her and her kids, my kids. Like that is deeper. That's not for Instagram. We didn't do one Snapchat or one Instagram that whole trip.
Good,
she actually cares about her kids. And people use that misconception to think she's a bottle girl, she's a waitress, or she's an actual stripper to discount the fact that she's actually a great mother. I've seen her with her kids. She
Definitely.
Don't move without them.
And, I don't move without them.
And all of them kids, bro, like, they love their mother. You know what I'm saying? Up to Jordan, who was the kid who was with her mother and her grandparents, like, she really value her kids and she don't discount none of them. And I think that shit is real. You know what I'm saying? And I want to say that because people think because some motherfucker on TV and they just got a nanny that take care of their kids. That ain't the fact. Mm. Like, she don't move without them kids.
My nanny begging me for work right now. But I kind of pushed everything aside to be a meta mother because I feel like I use my amount that's in my bank account to be a mother. I felt like that recently. So I done kind of like push all the help to the side to kind of put forth the work that I know I can provide if I sacrifice more hours of sleep. So that's what people don't know about me. But I'm really crying because they kind of put me in the position to cry.
Nah, we
because my mother is like, my mother like the only thing in the world that can get to me.
Get some tissue, bro.
I don't need no tissue. I'm done.
Nah,
but my mother's like the only thing in the world.
Get a Viva paper towel.
put some class on it. Yeah, give me a Viva.
Give her the Viva.
Yeah. Give me the Viva.
No
put Charmin. Some class. Put some class on what
Viva's
they're doing.
Is like real life.
We had a contract not to make me cry.
Fact. I violated the contract. She doesn't get paid anymore for this interview.
After you cried, you done. You sacrificed.
Yo, Batia, real shit. You coming from all that. Right. All the shit that made you cry, that shit's gone now.
That made me cry, but
now you in the A, right? Now you in the A. You done shed a lot of shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of feel like a new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like, tell them how that happened. It's a lot of people that watch your show. I'm going to keep it real. I called G before the interview. I'm like, yo, I ain't never watched your show. I don't watch other hip hop. Like, I ain't see her. I don't know exactly what to ask her, but I'm going to tell her to go from the beginning, right? So it's like, you come from all this pain, you done shed that shit. No more crying is allowed on the episode.
No,
understand?
It's still crying.
No. It's no more crying allowed. That's
crying
it. That's it. Shit's over.
I'm about
Shit's
to
over. We good, right? You in the A, right?
Mm-hmm.
You in the A?
Mm-hmm.
What happens? What happens to take you from the crying girl on the couch to the winning girl on the couch that's sitting there right now? You super winning. Don't get it twisted.
No, I think the crying girl on the couch always respected the crying girl in the shower. Like, even no matter how much money I get, how much, if I don't heal from the right cause, I'm going to still be the crying girl in the shower. G can tell me, y'all, it's okay, all of that, like, I want to hear. But if I don't hear from my mom, it's not real.
Damn, this shit's real.
So that's what keeps...
Yeah, I can't even shake you. I can't shake you.
That's what keep me different, because I still remember today when I text my mom, I love her, and she ain't text me back.
Damn, Tia.
Right? So...
You know, the illest part about that is I kind of want to jump off the subject because this shit is getting super deep. What gets you started in the club? You moved down here in 05. You didn't go straight to the strip club.
Nah, I had a cousin. I had a cousin named D-Boy who died, right? This is the dopest shit because he was the dopest guy, right? Y'all don't hear about shit
Yeah, go
like
ahead,
this.
Go ahead.
This is, like a this is like a fable. So this is like right before Big Meech and all them got locked up. My cousin told me how beautiful and how vicious I was. And to this day, I don't drop that. Like, that's how I'm still able to maintain. Girls, that's my age. And not that I'm young, I'm old, because I'm still young, but I came out old. I came out young. So I came out before I was 18. But, like, the dopest thing ever was all the knowledge my cousin D-Boy taught me while he was, you know, in his last stages of life. That shit rings true, and now, like, I'm still able to supersede all the young bitches. But my cousin remind me to this day how beautiful I was. Like, money was everything, but he remind me how beautiful I was and how much I ain't have to deal with a street nigga. Like, yeah, you can deal with him, he's a boss, but you better than him, you make him better. So to this day, my cousin, when he taught me about making a nigga better, I don't settle for nothing.
Okay, now, that's perfect segue. Because some chicks think as you fuck with a nigga with the bag, he just supposed to provide everything. A chick is supposed to bring something to the table to enhance him. A nigga's gonna do for you because he see you on your mission, or you see that, you know what, she ain't really on me, because like some chicks know the drops of Louboutins like niggas know Jordans.
Yeah.
Like, and they be, oh, these Louboutins drop on such and such date, I need them.
So let me connect with this nigga.
Let's go.
Right.
So the illest part about that is like, how do you explain it? Even some of these lost chicks out here who think they just got to chase for this new Chanel bag, to know that if you bring something to the table, that nigga gonna bring, he gonna drop that bag. You know what I'm saying? You getting it in like that, and nigga gonna see you like, damn, her ass going to work every fucking day. She flying to Miami. Right. When she come back, I got these red bottoms or these Yeezys or this Chanel bag for, like, explain the fact on being on your own mission, that's going to bring the accolades to the relationship. You know what I'm saying? Like, is that why you do it? Not that you got a nigga right now. I'm just saying any nigga you fuck with.
Is that why I do it, right? But with that, no, I don't think it's like that no more. Like, if you just think about the accolades, you got to now consider what you're thinking about being recognized for. If you being recognized for being a real nigga, we don't come from the era of real niggas.
Okay.
Right?
That shit?
Like, yes. What era we come from? We come from the era of scammers now, however you do it.
Damn.
Our era was like, if you steal from a nigga, you wasn't a real nigga. Real. Whether you was a scammer or if you was a robber.
You talking
You remember,
shit.
Right? Damn. Back in our day, robbers didn't get the kind of recognition they get right now, right?
Talk
right?
That shit.
So now I learned how to flex style. I call it flex style, and I flex on my style. So I learned how to now learn the new niggas with money from the old niggas with money.
Okay.
Right? So this era now.
This is how I look from the other side.
Right.
Go ahead.
Even from my side, because it's not a lot of bitches like me. These bitches want to leave me.
This comes
like
from
me.
The Tia side.
Not even the Tia side, but okay, let's call it? This what if you that? Born 1982 and a little bit earlier to 1987.
But you're still resilient. Remember that word I said earlier, resiliency?
We call it resiliency, right.
Yeah,
right.
Go ahead.
So I say this with my era now. My era ain't even accepting these new niggas. Because even still to this day, like, we live in the era of scam, right?
All right.
So you got to think about what scam, they're still. You still. There's no way in my era where I grew up you can accept a thief with a real nigga. Okay. You see what I'm saying? Damn. So a nigga that stole, that robbed, that scammed, we looked at you as a scavenger. Now the scavenger is the people that's not getting no money at all. So I don't even look at that point of view.
I don't even think of it that view no more.
Now what I think about with whoever's providing for their family, because that's what's more important.
Okay.
Now the disappointment with them being a scammer, the disappointment with being a stealer or robber, or whatever, that don't even matter no more. So now we just at who takes care of their family. It don't matter how you do it. It's just as long as you do it. Yeah. So that's the era I come from. And because I know I come from that era and these new niggas being so fragile, we can't measure them up to the niggas that I knew from my time. Yeah. So my time, I don't even use no type of measuring tape, no type of nothing. I measure your actions and motherfucking what you provide for me right now. I don't imagine nothing else.
You know, the dopest part about you saying that is, we've talked about this on previous episodes. I'll bring it back up. Like, if you fucking with a nigga and he fuck with you, it don't have nothing to do with what he buy for you. What it is some niggas live with a chick and say their rent is 2,000, right? That's high for some niggas. I don't know where y'all live. Say 1,500.
Right.
And you ask her for her 750 a month, You nothing more than her roommate.
Right.
You nothing more than a nigga who really be like she could live with her homegirl if she gonna live with you and you pay $750. No, you pay her $1,500.
Right.
Let her pay the cable bill or something, and let her get some responsibility. But y'all splitting 50-50, she could live with her homegirl from college for that shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like some real niggas gotta know that it's different between you swiping for her some sneakers. Then you actually bringing something to the table and actually holding the family down, holding her down, whether y'all got kids or not. You have to bring something to the table. You are a man. A man is designed to bring home the bacon, the woman cook it. I don't care how it play. That's actually what it is. And everybody got to know their role. You know what I'm saying? And some niggas don't know their role.
They don't.
You know what I'm saying? And you need to do that so that a woman can feel like, all right, I got a real nigga over here. Let me do this. Because I got an ill nigga at the table. When you got a nigga splitting 50-50, he ain't an ill nigga. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like it ain't got nothing to do with tricking or none of that shit. It's just about being a man. A man's supposed to hold down that part of the situation. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's ill about you going to get your bag. And I've seen you in mad situations where, at the end of the day, the way you feel, and you don't have to say it, is if my nigga fall off, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, he holding it down.
Right.
But I'm going to work to get this back, so if he ever fuck up, I got it. You know what I'm saying? Like some chicks be like, oh, if a nigga fall off, oh, he a sucker, he a bum nigga. No, he not a bum nigga. Like shit happens. It's the street. You know what I'm saying? Or it's his job. Whether he a street nigga or not, it's a drug dealer's dream. He don't have to be a street nigga. He could be working for 10 years straight, but his job got layoffs. Mm-hmm. You got to be there to pick up the slack.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you got to have a woman there that is able to pick up the slack. I've been holding down for 8 years, but these last 2 years I'm fucked up. Right. I ain't been a fucked up nigga for the 8 years.
Right.
But these last 2 years I'm fucked up. Right. So hold me down. Because you know I ain't a
I gave you eight you years. I gave you 6 years.
Right, but you know I ain't a fucking nigga. So you know I'm eventually get it back and we gonna be straight. But once you fall off them 2 years, like, oh, he a bum nigga.
Right.
He ain't got nothing going on. You can't do that. You know what I'm saying? And that's the difference what this podcast is ill for, is that, like, we trying to teach you principles and morals, like women and men. Like we not holding the men accountable because you actually really do got to hold shit down. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times a nigga thinking, oh man, I pay the rent. Nah, you don't really pay the rent, my nigga. You pay your half.
Yeah,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the difference. You know what I'm saying? But when I'm fucked up, pick up your slack. You know what I'm saying? Right. I've been holding it down a long fucking time. You know what I'm saying? Working nigga, street nigga, whatever. So I like the fact you be getting it in.
Yo, exactly what you're saying is so real, because it leads me to a real question, right? When you was chasing the money, which you already talked about, you was chasing the money.
Mm-hmm.
So then you get to do with money, right? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, your responsibilities go to zero. Mm-hmm. You ain't really got to do shit. And you in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
But at what point do you become uncomfortable, like, yo, you know what? No matter how much money my dude got, you still have to ask him for money.
You know, to be honest.
So when did you start getting your own money?
That fear came from, to be honest, because I always kept my own money in some certain way. Okay. But I wasn't in business until this pivotal moment when my baby father, who to this day, he was a kingpin. And then he hit bad times. But his whole clique got the kingpin charges, the RICO Act. And a pivotal moment for me, that wasn't how he moved with other bitches. It wasn't how he moved. It was how he treated me. In a way I can react. Like you can't tell a nigga suck your dick if you on his payroll. You can't demand a certain respect if you on his payroll.
She got quotes.
You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. So for me, that pivotal moment, and I fucked with him. My baby father before him was a kingpin. He treated me well. But me
we
not
opening a whole nother chapter.
Right. Well, but we talked about this already.
Part two.
But me not understanding the difference between a victor and someone who was victorious.
Word.
I didn't like that middle part. I didn't like that. And he treated me well in between right there.
Okay.
So for him, it wasn't even, oh, T got her a connect. It wasn't even that she don't need to be under my thumb. It was more of she refused to be under my thumb.
Because
I realized I can suck a million niggas' dick and get that equation that you provided me with. You know, if I choose to settle.
If it's just money.
Saying?
If it's just money.
If it's just money, I can suck good dick good enough where they're going to respect the power of
this tongue.
But
it's deeper than rap. It's deeper than money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're going to respect the power of this tongue if I speak it or if you feel it.
Mm. Damn, Tia.
You feel what I'm saying?
That's ill. That's
so
ill.
Once I understand the power of that, like I'm going to suck your dick or I'm going to talk you about it. I'm going to talk to you about it.
When did that happen?
When did that happen?
How many baby daddies in?
All right. Now, we always talk about your hustle game. The niggas you fuck with, you was able to actually be their crutch if shit ever got real. What made you, after being on a show like Love & Hip Hop, still continue to work in a club or get your bag? You got mad businesses. You got Milf Mondays, Bar Bright,
Skin, hair.
Hair, Tia Becca tresses.
And we don't even know how she got on the joint.
Like,
how'd she get on the joint?
But honestly, shout out to Mona Scott, if we can do that. Did that give you the platform to say, you know what, let me take advantage of the situation I'm in? You know what I'm saying? Because you took a break. You wasn't on last season. You was on the season before. Now you're on this season. What made you, like, was that the platform to be like, yo, fuck it, I got this platform, let me get all these business? Because you didn't start them before the fact. But ain't nothing wrong with that. You're supposed to use your platform. Did you say, hold up, I'm tripping? I'm jumping around. I'm sorry.
What got me to the point? Yeah.
How did they come to you and it be like, yo, fuck it, be on Love & Hip Hop? Because you were working in the club. Yeah, let's go.
Like, let me say this about the club and the streets. Because if you work in the club, you work in the streets. I'm going to say it like that. Because whether you a stripper or a dancer, you get much more money or the equal amount of money than a regular weed nigga, right? So, I'm
how you
say,
know this? How you know this, Tia?
Because I've been working
in the club for a long time. With street
niggas. That's all I wanted to say. All right, keep pushing.
I say all that to say that, you know what it takes and you know how easy it is to cross that threshold, to make as much money as your niggas making or more. You know how easy it is if you've lived this lifestyle. So for me, I already knew where I was at. And I got comfortable of being where I was at.
Okay.
I got bored with that.
Okay.
And for me, boredom is a very dangerous place. You know, complacency and boredom, I think that's more dangerous than walking in the hood alone without a strap. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to say that with my whole heart. So for me, the fear of being complacent or the fear of feeling that same fear of what my parents gave me with them not being or me, you know, gravitating to this fast life, I think that fear matched the fear of me not having nobody. So I eliminated that fear of not needing nobody by hustling as hard as I hustle. I don't need nobody financially. If you choose to be there and you provide me with that support I need mentally, I think that is, I think that's the most, it's priceless.
Damn.
I ain't never, ever encountered that. So the I should be a threat because I'm not looking for the material stuff everybody looking, because I get that shit for free, to be honest.
Well, threat
it's niggas
who?
Emailing me every day, can I be a stylist? Can I give you this? Who? I get that material shit for free. Right now, my biggest, the biggest to me thing that you can provide me with is that endless support, that unconditional support. And me not being dependent on that, that made me the strong person I am today, because you ain't got to give me that. I can act like you ain't exist tomorrow.
Let me speak, Blanc.
I'm the strongest person with acting like a motherfucker ain't exist.
You know the illest part about it, your whole story, at the end of the day, you need love.
I need love.
You need
I ain't
love.
Gonna lie.
Word. You don't need red bottoms and Chanel bags.
Yeah,
and a motherfucker that's with
you. Yeah, you need some
and,
love,
and
man.
You get your own bag. You actually need
love.
And no disrespect, you don't even need a nigga to be
the guy right now.
I ain't even gonna say loyal. He might can cheat. You need a motherfucker that's there for you, and you know him when shit get real. Emotionally,
yeah,
he gonna hear what you gotta say.
I ain't never had that in life.
And
okay,
support
that's real.
You.
That's real.
I see that.
Damn,
the illest part about you is, I won't get into your sexuality and all that, but I know that when you with a nigga, whether it's a woman or whatever, you with it. You know what I'm saying? It ain't about that. Like, you actually know niggas gonna be on bullshit. Niggas gonna fuck. I'd rather fuck a bitch with him than I need to know that when shit gets trying, these trying times, when I need this emotional support, that's what you need.
That's what I need. You know I never
saying?
Had that in my life.
And that shit is, that's the moral of this story, is it is a drug dealer's dream, but it get deeper than rap, to where down to the violin solo,
damn,
down
son,
to the
you
texting
your
moms
right
earlier.
I text a lot today.
Listen,
like, I don't even
love.
Know if y'all can zoom in. Like, literally, this has nothing to do with this show. This had every chance of me doing with my mom.
So.
And this just shows right here. Blue me. I've been out of paragraph Texas. And all I said today was, hey, mama, I love you. And I wanted to hear I love you too back.
No response.
No response. Damn. I got a red. All she said was red. Like, it was, she read it. Mm-hmm. But guess what? I needed my mom's response so that when I go hard and I get this harvest from whatever the universe or God have to give me, mm-hmm. I needed to accept that without feeling like I'm accepting it without baggage. Because Damn. When I accept what I know that God has to harvest for me right now, when I don't include this baggage, I don't need a guilt trip.
But you got mad baggage right now.
I don't got baggage. I don't got no baggage.
Yes, you do, Tia. It's okay.
No, I don't got baggage. Because I tell people easily now, if you're not my kids, then suck my dick.
Say no more. I don't want no problems. I don't want no problems.
And let me tell you something. My kids, and God rest my, God give me everything I need. My kids was born to me understanding that they got a mom that's going to be filled with mistakes. Because right now, to this day, my kids love me like it ain't nothing.
You know,
and I talk to them like this: if you gonna fuck, tell me tomorrow you fuck it so we can handle it. I don't keep nothing for my kids. Whoever I fucked, I let them know. I was a hustler, I let them know. I work in the script cast today, I let them know. My daughter, who's 15, told me, mommy, they came to school talking about how your mom work in the script club. And I knew shit about the mom who was talking shit to my daughter.
Damn.
I said, you make sure you tell that hoe she sell pussy. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm.
So I don't hide nothing from my kid. Nothing. Mm. And guess how my kids treat me now? You can't say nothing about me to my kid.
That's super facts.
You can't say nothing to me about my kids. And guess what? Even if I come home with $200, I give my kids, I got $50 for you today.
Word.
Put it in the bank. Like, my kids love me so much, they don't understand the concept of
the hate
or the baby talk. I tell them all the time, I got a daughter that's built like me, thick legs, big butt, she competitive cheer. She ain't thinking about dick. And I ain't even telling her not to think about dick. I'm telling her how dirty dick is, how this is the woman of the era. This is the era of the female. You know what I'm saying? This is the era where women can do shit we couldn't do 50 years ago. So, yeah, you know, you can fuck on him, but make him feel like he's the one that needs to call you. I don't call my daughter telling her about how bad dick is. I tell her to know, I let her know how much of a boss she is. And to this day, that 15-year-old little girl, she calling me like, mom, I don't feel like staying at my friend's house. Let's talk.
Damn.
You know that.
Let's talk. I ain't never had that. My coochie had a smell. I ain't let my grandmother know. Like, Mom, what this smell like? Shit's my real. Daughter could put that shit in my face. Shit. Like, Mom, what's this? I ain't had that.
This shit crazy.
I ain't had that mama that be like, yo, you know what I'm saying? If he nutting, you would have happened. Okay. I ain't understand. Tell the ladies,
because we can't tell
them. Let me tell you how I had my baby at 13, because I ain't had a mama that tell me what happens when you miss more than one period.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
I ain't had none of, you know, the nigga with money or why niggas trying to fuck you or the power of your pussy. My daughters, neither one of them, they teenagers, both of my daughters. Damn, and the power between
what
me
you
and
tell them? What you tell them?
The power they.
There's a lot of teenagers in your situation previously.
You got a school.
Who have nobody to tell them.
Because guess
so
what?
So teach them.
People teach you that it's weakness and understanding the power of your pussy. They feel like you're using it as commerce now. So you're a prostitute. You're right. But the power is all in your pussy. I don't teach my kids like, oh, well, you dating a nigga. Your power is in your pussy. You got to understand your purchasing power. So a nigga want to fuck with you, your worth of who you, of how hard a nigga fuck with you is the niggas you fuck with before him. No matter how you try to put it, a nigga judge you about the niggas who you fucked with before him, right? Right. Do you or don't you?
See, you fuck with a lame nigga or these bum ass niggas who only drink Bud Light every day.
One nigga you could deal with.
I'm gonna play you like a bitch. You fuck with niggas who drink Bud Light every day.
But if she fuck with multiple of your niggas, how you gonna treat her?
Say that one more time.
Yeah,
a nigga or more than one nigga that she fuck with who you know or on the scene or club
fast.
Nigga.
Super fast.
You gonna treat her bad, right?
Treat as such.
So I tell my daughters that. Like, it don't matter who you fuck. It's a matter with the business that you're dealing with your vagina, even to this day.
Hold up.
I have a fear of letting the streets teach my kids more than what I can teach them.
You know what? Can we do like a time warp real quick? Okay. Can we go back to the Tia? What they call you in high school?
They call me Tia. They call me Tia.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right.
Uh-huh. They call my big sister.
You wasn't Tia Becca. You was Tia.
But guess what? It. My name in real life is Tierra Rebecca.
Okay.
So people
but you
think
wasn't Tia Becca.
Nah.
But you was Tia.
I was Tia Becca.
Slash Tierra, okay.
I was Tia Rebecca, yeah.
Okay, so you lost the E somewhere.
But yeah, either way, I lost right? the A.
Yeah, all right. So, you know, at that point, like, you talking this shit now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you already let us know, right? There's certain things you was missing. So you chasing certain things, right?
Right.
But you end up on TV one day. Like, you didn't break down that break. How'd you get that break? How do you go from this pain to TV? And all of a sudden you get this platform, it's crazy. You want to vent on TV like you vent right now.
Right.
But the show wasn't just about you.
It's still not about me.
But you know you're special.
You need your own show.
Yeah, you know you're worth it, right?
Yeah.
But like, that still was a big moment.
You
like, you're on TV, man. People watching.
Like how do you
like,
go from working at
you go from Dayton,
to the people
Ohio.
Coming to you saying, we want you on our show? How does that happen?
How did this happen? You're right.
How does it happen?
Because you know what? I think it's easy to put a camera in your face and act a certain way that people want to see. I think that's easy. But what set me different is the realness.
Okay.
You know? Like, even to this day, my type of real still ain't gonna answer this shit till we post this shit.
Okay.
They still not gonna watch this shit because the real don't search for real. The real, it just happens, right? So okay. They're not gonna see this till we promote this shit, right? So even to this day, even back then, like even now, my friends that I call my closest friends been friends 10 years or before, and they dealt with me based on who I really am.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that crossword from coming from Tia Becca to wanting to ask me questions and want me to answer them, I think that threshold came from the person who respected the person that asked the questions that was the realest, if that makes sense. Like,
I don't understand. Yeah. You drunk?
So,
you high?
Oh, no.
So, no, I'm not high or drunk. So, and I'm going to try to say this because I'm not going to be able to answer this question while I'm drunk or high. So, my realest moments come from when I'm under the influence. people ask me these questions and we talk off camera.
Okay.
So
okay.
my realest okay. moments okay. now wasn't okay. from Tripping. none of my friends asked me about Tia Becca or me asking these questions. Now my realest moments came from Tia. Remember when this happened and you cried about this, or you felt broken about this, and look where you are today. Look when you prayed about the things that's happening right now, and you prayed about it. How you feel? Okay. My friends to this day. And then this was like a recent realization where my friends, I realized my friends didn't come to me when it came to material shit. One day my friend came to me, was like, Tia, you remember when you prayed for the shit that's happening right now? What's next? Okay. That what's next question was the wildest question to me in my fucking life. Okay. Because her questions was, I remember when back in the day when bitches ran with niggas to buy bottles and drug dealer dream was the hang with all the bad bitches, and they hung with these niggas for bottles. And I taught all of my bitches, like, nah, you buy your own bottles. So these dreams I'm having now, like, yeah, we can buy our own bottles and we the boss bitches, but what's next after that? Mm-hmm. How we respect the boss bitches after that? What game plan it came from after that? And my friend one day was like, this was very recent, like the most recent I can even think of, whatever we gonna talk about. But she said, what happened to after we come to that realization point? What you want us to point out that was your pivotal moment. And to me, when she pointed out that I was a boss and still trying to teach her how to be a boss and not understand that, to me, that said a big part, because it made me kind of think back to what have I gained from years from this. Because no matter what, these bitches, and I'm going to say this, these bitches be like so big on what a nigga buy now. Like back in the day, yo, you wasn't a trophy wife until you can bring something to the table. Mm. A trophy wife now is something like physical. A trophy wife back in my day was the bitch that can flip the perspective of street nigga. You can flip that. All right, now let's flip the how much you bring to the table. Let's flip that. Like, all right, his credit score is 650. Let's make that an 850. And then you want a trophy wife, and you can, until you can tell him you can take his bad money until good money. You know what I'm saying? Right. So now, like, to me, back then, like, all that shit was different. A nigga really, if you even think about to all the street movies, a nigga ain't fuck with a bitch until he can see how she can make his life from street nigga to a legit nigga better, right?
Downfall of Tony Montana.
Right.
Right. Like she brought nothing to the table.
Right. But if you think of Blue Hills Avenue.
Okay. Get on your boss's
shit. Right. You think of Blue Hills Avenue. That's the street. That's a real street nigga dream, right?
You know Carlito's way. Carlito's way. He had the chick.
See, the illest part about it is, and I'm a, when I see you, I can see you out. I can see you regular. I can see you at your house. You always talking about, whether it's you or your friends, get with a boss nigga. You be like, he a boss. If he ain't a boss, he a clown, basically, to you. Because you got to bring a nigga that's doing right on his end for you to bring something to the table. Mm-hmm. You want to deal with a bum nigga or so on and so forth. Because if you bring it all to the table, you a boss nigga and he a clown. He a peon.
Now you're associated with a peon.
Right. So you actually, to all the chicks out there, like it don't matter. Man, I seen an ill post. I think Rome sent it to me or something. Like,
a nigga gonna act with you how he feel like. A nigga only gonna act with you what you either present to the table or how you feel about you.
That's it's the truth. You know what I'm saying? And just because you see a nigga ill, all the ill ladies, Louis or Gucci, that don't mean he an ill nigga. Like, that don't mean he a lit nigga. That don't mean he a rich nigga. He could be a scammer. I mean, no disrespect to the scammer, but it is what it is.
We live, like, in an
that
era.
That don't mean you got money. Mm-hmm. And that don't pay the bills because I could buy you a bag because I swiped it. These bills is real. Mm-hmm. These bills is real as fuck. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Every month, I know, just like you, these bills is real as fuck. Whether you got a nigga or not, whether you got a girl or not, you got to pay these bills. So the illest part about that is everybody got to bring something to the table. You know what I'm saying? And I think that shit is the realest part about just life. You know what I'm saying? You have
or a drug dealer's dream too, because most drug dealers.
That's the main part about a
most
drug dealer's dream.
Most drug dealers I know ain't had both parents. Most drug dealers I know done took care of a parent or a grandparent, and that's his dream to be able to fall back and let somebody
love my
else
mother,
take the reins.
Hold it down.
Yeah.
To this day.
Yeah, to you this day. So most drug dealers, I know his dream is to be able to let that go and be able to put that pressure or whatever that responsibility off on somebody else. So
Tia. When did that dream become your dream?
The dream of being able to sit down. I'm not going to even say that's my dream even yet, though.
What's your dream right now?
As long as I'm taking care of my kids, I swear to God, I don't care about nothing else.
Right.
A nigga can't break my heart. It ain't nothing. As long as my kids, as long as that 6-bedroom house that was built up is able to house my kids, I don't care about nobody.
You know what's crazy? Your story's so ill that you always had a reason to live beyond you, right? Like your
not
kids.
Not even my 13-year-old. I can't even say that. My 13-year-old wasn't even a reason to live beyond me because I didn't understand that. My mom took him.
Okay.
My second child, I couldn't understand that because my love for her was so profound. It was only her. I didn't understand that because every nigga I had, even back then, in that infancy of having an infant on my hip every day, mm-hmm. I knew that whatever nigga I fuck with, gonna have to fuck with her.
Damn.
So guess what? From her, that 15-year-old I have now, every nigga I fuck with, I fucked with her heavier. Because okay. they know that was the weight of my heart. Okay. So I didn't even feel no grief from her either to be honest, the moment she came out my vagina and her dad went to the feds, she was the only weight of my heart. Okay. You got to build a relationship with her. So after her happened, the only weight of my heart is her and whatever's after her. I didn't feel for niggas right. no more.
Okay.
I want to flip the script.
I didn't feel for niggas.
I want to flip the script.
To this day, I don't feel for
niggas.
And
I'm glad you said that because we going to flip the script. I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, with the hurt you got from your moms and all the shit you've been through, I think that hurts your love life.
It do.
Because I've seen you be disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for any nigga, a boss nigga or not, to hear that shit. Because you're such a boss, I'm going to say that, you're one of the most disrespectful people I've heard in life, a woman. You talk to your niggas crazy. You can't. Listen, because you can't be disrespectful to niggas.
It's the downside.
And expect him to be a boss.
You know what? Think
that's your fault. I've seen you talk reckless, like listen. You can belittle a nigga who working at. I mean, I'm not disrespecting UPS workers, but you can disrespect a nigga who make $9-$10 an hour. He ain't bringing nothing to the table. You've dealt with boss niggas. You still talk to him crazy. So what I'm saying is,
but when you heard me talk to a nigga crazy, didn't deserve it first.
We're not gonna do that. What I'm gonna say is, that's one thing you can't do in the future. If you're dealing with a boss nigga and you know he's a boss, whatever you brought to the table, he's still a boss nigga. He not a bum. He's getting his own money and he's getting a real bag. You have to own up to be like, all right.
I'm going to always feel like I'm going to talk to him any kind of way. Because it's why I feel like that.
You can't
because
do that.
Niggas, like niggas that get money and like to trick off on bitches, they come a dime a dozen.
Because okay,
guess what happens? Guess what happened with bitches like me? I start to explore outside my race. So I'm never going to be confined.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Right. Because when a street black nigga ain't fulfilling my needs, guess what? It's a white nigga from 2 weeks ago that done already felt these hips. And you know what I'm saying? All I got to do is go
you're
back and reconnect.
Yeah, you wild.
No.
Stop.
Let me tell the truth. I'm finna tell you what happened.
All right, go ahead. Tell us what happened.
What happens. I'm finna tell you because right, you don't know yet.
All right.
Let me tell you something about Tia Becker.
Let's tell me about Tia Becker.
You can tell me how disrespectful I am.
Definitely disrespectful.
But 2 weeks from today,
right.
It's going to be a white nigga that disconnected a way that he regret. And guess what's going to happen? I'm going to let him know that it's okay and make him fall in love.
Right.
So I understand. It's the same principle of understanding your purchasing power.
I'm not going to say that.
I understand the purchase of the pussy. Let me tell you something. When I learned the power of the purchase of the pussy, I learned I can act how I want, when I want. unless you are bringing something to the table that I cannot provide. It's nothing more powerful than the pussy.
Let me say you're wrong.
It's not. I'm not going to say
pussy
wrong.
Is powerful. I'm not going to say it's
powerful. It's nothing pussy. In the world more powerful than pussy.
Let me say something about love. Is the dude you met 2 weeks from now, in 6 months, you're going to talk to him the same way you talk to him.
No, I'm not. You don't do it.
Yes, you are.
If you don't start no shit, won't be no shit. That's the good Proverbs 154:67.
Ooh, what the fuck
right?
is that?
Right? It's the street shit. That's it. Can I have some more anything?
Yo.
Street shit.
No more.
Let me tell you something. The good word of the Proverbs 57:67
okay.
is that don't start none, won't be none. You feel me? So when you come to me with respect.
Okay.
Blanco.
Okay, I hear you. I don't want no
when
part.
When you come to me with respect, and uh-huh. that's what's in the last little bit of that.
Okay.
When you come to me with respect.
Okay.
G, don't you dare. I'm trying to be serious.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
When you come to me with respect, I'm going to give you that same sort of gratitude.
Right. All right. Okay. So okay. Listen. Your story... I have nothing but respect for your story.
Okay.
But where you are today, right? You obviously learned from everything. You grew.
I didn't.
Okay. Talk. Hey,
I didn't.
That's real
I
shit.
Didn't learn from nothing. Like, today, my still biggest pain is my childhood pain.
You didn't get past it.
I didn't get past it, Jack. You're not going to never get past it until
we'll
you have...
We'll get part two next year.
All right, so where are we going from here with the pain? What's going
my
on?
My pain is...
What's going on?
My pain is understanding...
What's the plan?
My pain is understanding the power that my I love yous have. I didn't understand the power of my I love yous or I know who you are as a man, G. I didn't understand those powers.
Okay.
Until I was left to let that person interpretate my powers. You know what I'm saying?
Because
it's different when you make G have to force you to understand or love you as Tierra. It's different, right?
Okay.
Gotcha.
So I didn't understand those powers of that, but now I understand the powers of my mom's love you. You know what I'm saying? So that hurt of not hearing a response comes
I hope
from
your mother
now.
Watches this too.
My hurt comes from now, mom, you didn't respond, but it's okay.
Okay.
Because now her response is now that son she raised that I didn't get a chance to raise, now he respect me.
Gotcha.
So it's all different. I don't respond to now what you drive. Because back then, that Tia, when my mom was smoking crack and I ain't had nobody else to hold on to but that drug dealer, now that Tia don't even matter no more because you still not getting more money than me.
Mm-hmm.
Now that Tia matters is somebody that understands the same loyalty or loyalty because now loyalty is so much more important to me than anything in the world.
Okay.
Like loyalty... If I tell you a secret and I don't never hear it back, that's more important than them Gucci's or them Louis.
Okay.
So my mom didn't even understand that at that time. I knew how to get more money than my mom. My mom was smoking crack. My mom was popping pills.
That was your motivation.
I served my mom. No, I fucking served my mama. You know what I'm saying? When you can serve your mom, like, all right, it ain't the crack pipe, but it's some other drug that she like. Serving your mom is different from one day you waking up like, damn, I served my mom before. You know what I'm saying? It's so different than realizing that one day. So I woke up one day like, I served my mom some work before and I smoked a joint with her. My mom was a big crack. Like, that was different for me. So now my hurt or nothing come from my mom here and I love her. My hurt come from now the people who I said I love you, you feel it. Because I think about more these days is when I'm on TV and this fake shit, after this fake shit stopped recording, what's more important to me? It'd be like, nah, Tia, real nigga. She never switched up.
All right, listen.
That's so important to me. All like, right, niggas don't even know that. Like, it's been niggas in the streets now that be like, yo, you never change. That's important to me. It's like, more important. I don't suck a bitch dick. I don't give a fuck with who you fucking with, who. I ain't never gonna hang out with a bitch that's just on for right now. Like, fuck you.
Okay.
And that's the biggest thing, especially in this TV life that I experienced, is this fake shit. This fake shit to me is so...
You want this or no?
This, nah, I need this. Right. This, because I'm finna say this. And it's a lot of people are gonna be mad, but this fake shit acting like I fuck with these hoes, I don't fuck with you hoes.
Because
if I fuck with G and he fuck up, you ain't gonna be ready to do with him what I'm telling you to do to him. He ain't gonna be ready to sit outside like the fuck I tell you to sit outside.
That's you.
You know what I'm saying? Am I lying? Right. Am I lying? Listen. My real personality, mm-hmm. you're not going to be ready to do none of the shit I say let's do. So for me, it'd be hard to suck these soft hoes dicks that went and got injections to feel popular. You know what I'm saying? That shit be difficult for me.
All right, listen. I want to say two things. Number one, I think the part two to this show, forget Ayanna VanZant. We need to have your moms on the show. And y'all need, we need to do.
She never going to feel like she expects
me. We going to do Dr. G and B, Benny Blanco moment. Yeah. Because that's what's needed. Through this interview, that's more than a part two with just Tia Becker. Because
you ain't got past your moms.
And that's real. One thing I do know is that through all of the bullshit, you prospered. You know what I'm saying? Like, you really.
And I don't want her to say it, but I fuck with you.
I think your motivation is come from that. Like, you've been more successful than all your siblings because of that violin.
Damn.
Before that violin solo, because you actually, I'm going to show you I'm ill. You know what I'm saying? And that shit is deeper than rap. I say it all the time.
She's waiting for somebody to clap for her.
Yeah, you
just waiting for somebody to clap for you.
Nobody clapped for me that day.
We clapping for you today.
I know.
We clapping for you.
We
clapping. I'm not. I'm just saying we clapping for you today. You told your story.
Y'all fucked up.
You told your story. We clapping for you. There you go, Chop. There you go.
I think that's the dopest part of this show is and that's like the end all, be all to the show is that you actually got people clapping for you. The problem is, none of them matter because you want your mom to clap for you.
I showed you today. I just told her I love her. She ain't telling me I love her back.
You show me, and I think you'll end up getting that. But I want to say to you, it don't matter if she don't clap. Like, you doing a hell of a job.
And you tell your kids you love them all the time.
I tell them every day.
All the time.
I'm dead serious. I tell them every day.
That's what matters.
Yeah, I tell them every day.
You signing off, A Drug Dealer's Dream, telling everybody what you got going on.
And how to find you.
And how to find you.
So I can find me on Instagram, Tia_Becca_ on Instagram. You can find me on Snapchat the same way, Tia_Becca without the underscore. Everything stays the same always. And if you see me in the street, I'm usually always Tia Becca with G from G5. I'm always with family. Or Atlanta, I'm always at Blue Flame. If I'm in Atlanta, I'm at Blue Flame. If I'm in Miami, I'm at G5. Mm. And then I work out all the time, so you already know it's not surgery. I'm not going to buy an ass and tell you bitches to purchase the same ass. If I work hard, I'm going to tell y'all to work just
tell
as hard.
Tell me not wrong with it, though.
Ain't nothing wrong with it, because let me tell you, hard work is better than trying to buy an ass you're going to want to change anyway. Because I bought some shit that wanted to change anyway before.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm going to always be 100. So you can always hit me at Tia_Becca, wherever you at. Snapchat, Instagram, whatever. It's always going to be a drug dealer dream because I come from a drug father and a drug mother. So my dream is always going to be to rise above that.
Facts.
G is always going to be my brother. So you want to suck his dick, you always going to have to go down this way.
He's not that type of nigga.
He's a boss. But anyway, G is always going to be my brother. Blocko will always be my brother. It's going to be a part two because they made me turn to a whole soft bitch during this. So let's have fun. Watch this. And any questions y'all have from part two, it's going to be a part two. See, I just going to have to wait.
Drug Dealer's Dream. Man.
Drug Dealer's Dream,
Signing off. Episode whatever.
Episode whatever. I'm happy to be a part of it.